诸位菩萨早安。
Good morning, everyone.
今天我们要开始正式进入大圣大吉地藏十轮经，那我们就简称是地藏十轮经。
Today we're going to officially start getting into the content of the Sutra of Ten Chakra of Chittagarbha Bodhisattva.
声音大。Okay. 后面听得到吗 ？OK， 好，好，这个怎么弄？上一次呢，我们已经把经题讲说明一遍，还有整部经的结构也大致介绍了一遍哈。那从序品哈，就是地藏王菩萨跟佛的功德开始，一直讲到最后。每一部经的这个主垒，好交代大家宣传哈，整个的结构讲过了。那所以我们今天要从第一品哈序品来讲哈。
So last time we already discussed and explained the title of the sutra, as well as going over the overall structure of the sutra, starting from the introduction where the Buddha andChittagarbha Bodhisattva's merit and virtue were expanded and described all the way up to the last chapter, chapter 8, where the Buddha asked Bodhisattva entrusting the teaching. So today we're going to turn to chapter 1 specifically to talk about the content of that chapter.
那从这个整部经的结构跟它内容的分布哈，大家可以看到说，从很多的如来藏经系列的经文哈，它一开始都是会着重在讲如来的境界，然后呢，因为很多在众的听众听不懂，然后慢慢的开始问问题，越问越到跟我们凡夫俗子越相应的层次，所以通常就是中间就跟我们实际生活修行面最相关的地方，它的内容会讲最多。前面如来的境界它还是会讲，但是三言两语我们是完全不懂的，虽然只有三言两语，但是非常的深奥。
So as you can see, similar to other sutras that belongs to the category of Tathagatagarbha, you oftentimes start out by discussing the Buddha's merit and virtue as well as the state of their greatness. But these kind of descriptions tend to be intangible and difficult to understand for us, normal, ordinary people. So usually because of this lack of understanding, then some bodhisattvas or deities will then start asking questionsand bringing the state and the content to a level that more closely approximate our understanding. So usually the middle of the chapter where it discusses things that we can actually understand and we can put into practice, those are more heavily emphasized. Whereas in the beginning chapter where it's only talking about Buddha's virtues, etc., those are glossed over very quickly.
那今天呢，虽然我自己对于如来的境界，佛的境界呢，了解的有限，但是第一章节，现在我就不能快快的给他 bypass， 就是说，还是要把第一章节的重点呢，要用花一次的时间跟大家说明。
So even though my understandingis limited about exactly the states of the Buddhas and the magnificence of Buddha. My understanding is limited, but because we're focusing on chapter 1 today, so I can't just quickly bypass the whole thing. So we're actually going to spend this entire session discussing Buddha's merit and virtues.
那这一品序品第一品里面呢，我这次的重点跟大家要分享的，我没有办法全部 cover 每一个细节，但是要重点要分享的就是孟参老和尚的第一本书，他把第一品 的 title 是列在是地藏菩萨的止观法门。好，那为什么是给这样的 title？ 我刚开始不明白，因为里面其实很少讲方法，可是后来我读了好几遍之后，我终于明白，第一品里面讲了我们的目的，还有讲我们修地藏法门应该具备的修行能力跟德行。
So, when I was reading this first chapter, and then I compare it with the commentary provided by Master Meng Chan, I noticed that this first chapter is actually categorized, included in the book that says, discusses the methods of Samatha and Vipassana of Titigarbha Bodhisattva. And at that time, I couldn't quite understand why chapter one would be included in that book by Meng Chan, Master Meng Chan. And then as I delve a little bit deeper, I realized the first chapter actually lays out the roadmap that tells us what is our objective of cultivation, as well as the kind of ability and capacity and the kind of merit and virtue we need to hone in order to continue our practice.
那我这今天主要会引用的呢，哈，的经典来说明是用楞严经跟圆觉经，好，这两部是属于如来藏系哈很重要的经典来说明第一品的内容。
So in discussing chapter one, I will also be relying on the Surigama Sutra as well as the Sutra of Perfect Enlightenment to help explain the content of this chapter.
那我们快速的复习一下哈，这一开场的时候哈，然后就是种种瑞相哈，下云雨啦，有什么声音啊，然后最重要的是每个人呢的两只手都有如意珠，好，这个如意珠呢，它可以放大光明，让我们还没有成佛的众生可以看到一切佛时的佛净土。好
，And so let's do a really quick review of what we talked about last time. In the opening of the chapter, in the prologue, the arrival of Chittagarbha Bodhisattva was described, and there were a lot of auspicious signs, and one of which is all the attendants in the assembly, people participating, in both of their palms manifested these two luminous pearls. And the light of these pearls, the meaning, significance of these pearls is that the light of the pearls will help all the participants able to see all the pure lands of all the various Buddhas.
那一般呢，如果我们看一些经典，一般有这样的能力，通常是佛，他在刚开始的时候，他会入不同的三昧，然后让在场的众生，听众可以进入佛的层次，像圆觉经也是这个样子的，华严经也是这样，就是说他会入什么三昧，然后让大家见诸佛的世界。但是在这个却不是佛的力量，就忽然之间大家就忽然可以有这样的瑞相的时候，所以就会有人就天地士就问说，也不是佛，那是谁来了？
Usually in the other sutras, it's only the Buddhas who's able to manifest these kind of auspicious signs.Where oftentimes, such as in Avatamsaka Sutra or the Sutra of Perfect Enlightenment, the Buddha, before started expounding on a lecture, the Buddha will then start entering samadhi and then bring forth all sorts of auspicious signs. But the difference that's in this particular sutra is that it's not the Buddha who's doing all these, it's someone else that caused all these auspicious signs.And that's why Shantideva then asked Buddha, who is it? Who is coming? Who has this kind of power to manifest all these auspicious signs?
所以佛就介绍了地藏王菩萨。那在佛赞叹地藏王菩萨的微妙功德的时候呢，里面一大串，那我就挑其中一小段， 就是地藏王菩萨怎么持六度波罗蜜，他持六度波罗蜜 的状况是怎么样呢？这是我们值得，我们日常生活中值得学习的。
So then the Buddha, to answer the question, started to introduce and talk about Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. And Buddha started going into all the details of all the subtle merit and virtues of this Bodhisattva, and there were a lot. And not going into too much detail, I excerpted a short section where the Buddha described how Chittagarbha Bodhisattva practiced the six paramita.
那从这个经文上大家看到，他常常做的布施，他是慧施，他是所有的布施都真的可以利益到众生，而且他是横转，好像轮子一直转一直转不会停的。他不会因为说你布施人家不感恩你，你布施没有人知道，你布施甚至人家还骂你，那你就停了，甚至就退转，它不是轮子一直往前转，是这样布施的。
So the first of the paramitas is offering, making offering. And as you can see in the text that for Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, the way he practiced the act of giving, of making offerings, is that he's doing it constantly in a generous way that can truly deeply benefit the sentient beings. And not only so, the practice is continuous, like a turning wheel, it never stops. As opposed to oftentimes ordinary people, when we try this kind of practice, we do it intermittently, or sometimes we do it, and then when people are not grateful of what we do, or sometimes they even start scolding us, and then we turn back and stop doing this practice. But that's not the case with Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. That the Bodhisattva was able to do it continuously, like the turning of the wheels.
那地藏王菩萨怎么持戒的？他这边讲说，持戒坚固，如妙高山。当我们在读地藏系列的经典的时候，常常会看到坚固这两个字。此坚固非彼坚固，坚固不是坚刚强硬邦邦的不能动，所以他用妙高山来形容持戒坚固。那后来之后的经文，地藏王菩萨在赞叹佛的时候也说他安忍不动，安忍坚持，犹如妙高山。所以这个妙高山一直出现，我就想去找经文，说经文哪里有讲妙高山，妙高山到底是什么样一个状态。结果我一 key in 妙高山，出来的都是日本的妙高山。
So the second practice of the six paramita is upholding the precepts. And the way Chittagarbha Bodhisattva upholded his precept was he held it very firmly. And this kind of firmness, the word firm, you're going to see it repeatedly appearing in the sutra that's related to Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. And this kind of firmness, do not misinterpret it as rigidity or like steel. It's actually a firmness that can support sentient beings. And so over here, the Buddha describes Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's virtue as firm, and the precept is so firm, it's like the wondrous high mountain. And similarly, when Chittagarbha Bodhisattva later praised the Buddha, he also used a similar term, where the precept is firm like wondrous mountain, high mountain. So this phrase kept coming up, wondrous high mountain. So I looked it up. I wonder what's the significance of this mountain. So when I did a Google search, all that turned up is this wondrous high mountain that's in Japan.
Okay. 那显然这个日本的妙高山是他们的有名的景点之一哈，然后我就想说到底有什么好玩的，一年四季都有人会去那里，然后你看它的，我就把它一年四季哈，那你秋天有美景可以看哈，那春天呢百花齐放哈， 那夏天也是非常的凉爽，因为它是 山上嘛，哈，那你也可以 vacation 避暑。那冬天你还可以滑雪，你看那个 monkey 还可以什么泡温泉，哈，哇，一年四季都非常的丰富，它有丰富的一些内容可以让我们去那边哈享受。
So what popped out was this wondrous high mountain, 妙高 mountain that's in Japan. So I was wondering, like, what's so cool about this mountain? Because it's apparently a popular tourist site that people go there all seasons of the year. So there are beautiful scenes to be seen in autumn, and there are flowers in springtime. And in winter times, you could ski, and you can even see that pictures of monkeys are soaking themselves and hanging out in a hot spring. So this is a place where people can go and enjoy and derive benefit from this place.
那持戒坚固如妙高山是什么意思？我们哦，常常哦，持戒哦，持得很尖锐。很厉，有的人说、哦、我持戒严谨、哦、哇什么都就是好像军令如山、哦、就不能动、哦、军令也是用山、哦、军令如山不能动，你一犯戒呢，你一犯规矩呢，我就给你一个很严重的惩罚、哦、是这样吗、哦、我这次去参加那个西雅图的、哦、西方比丘尼戒的持戒，那乌林长老你说了一句话我非常的欣赏，我就 repeat 给你们听。他说呢，持戒律师持戒的人呢，他不应该老是说人家犯错，因为他精通戒律的戒条，此时此刻你看到别人犯错的时候，你不应该常常告诉别人说你犯错，而律师的责任是知道戒条之后，知道人为什么犯错，知道怎么样帮他们忏除罪过，然后给他们带来平安跟希望跟快乐，这是律师的责任。是知道别人犯错，然后知道怎么帮助他们忏除，知道怎么帮助这些犯错的人重新得到平安快乐跟希望。同样的，妙高山对于我们持戒的人来讲，持戒的 戒条的内容不能改变，但是我们持戒的人就好像是一切众生的靠山，当你在各种不同四季就不同 你失望 你没有希望，然后你有钱你没钱，那 你地位很高你地位很低，世界上一切所有的现象的发生在你身上的时候，你都可以把这个戒律当成你的靠山，重新获得希望，然后从里面得到滋润，这是我们持戒坚固的根本内涵，就是慈悲自己，慈悲一切众生。讲太长了。
Okay. So how does this concept of 妙高 mountain, this wondrous high mountain, relate to the practice of upholding precept? Oftentimes, when we uphold precepts, we tend to be really rigid to the point where it becomes too sharp. It's like you have this really sharp edge that you use it not to bring benefit or to nurture. It becomes sort of a tool where you start to punish. There's also another related term about upholding rules, which is applied in the armies,where in the armies, in Chinese saying, the army's rule is high as a mountain. So similarly, they use this analogy of mountain. But that's not the way that precepts should be upheld. Recently, I went to Seattle and attended a ceremony of...
Living Vijnana in the West.
Living Vijnana in the West. Living precepts in the West.A retreat. And during this retreat, someone gave a talk.
Master Wu Yin
gave a talk, and in that talk, there's this phrase that I truly, deeply resonate with. here she said, for someone who upholds the precept, your role is not to...
The precept master.
The precept master's role is not to tell other people, be pointing fingers, saying that you did this wrong, you did that wrong. That's not the purpose. Instead, your role is to be able to know when a precept is broken, what has been broken, what is the source, or why do people break these precepts. And by understanding the source and reason behind it, able to help people sufficiently and efficiently repent for what they have done, consequently regain true peace and happiness and stability
and
of
hope.
The mind and hope and a sense of hope. So that is the true value of precept. So while the actual precepts does not change from time to time, but the precept master, your job is to be like the mountain, where it's something that's really reliable and stable, where people can actually rely on. That's what we use precept for, that regardless of one's status, the changes in status from high to low, from wealth to poverty, regardless of all the changes in the world that's surrounding you and happening to yourself in the precepts, hopefully we'll be able to find strength and hope and happiness. And that's the purpose of upholding precepts. And that's the way we should use the precept, not only for ourselves as well as for the people around us.
Be compassionate to yourself and to others. 那持戒的这个部分在这部经的中间讲的好大一串哈，这个无一行品里面就是在讲如何破戒，如何忏悔，如何处理佛陀怎么处理比丘好，或是一般比丘犯戒应该怎么样处理，然后一般大众应该怎么样尊敬三宝，讲的非常的长好的一个篇幅。
So indeed, in this sutra, chapter 3, the chapter of undependable actions, it went into great length describing the ways to uphold precepts and how to deal with the breaking of precepts from the Sangha and how us as laities should regard those Sangha who broke the precept and how to continuously pay respect to the Triple Jewels.
那精进哈，就大家知道说精进就是不间断的一直努力嘛，那这边就用金刚宝，就是你没办法把它打碎，那一般我们的精进是很容易破碎的，常常我们会发愿说我每天呢要怎么样一百拜啦，送一部经啊，或是说我每年要去打两次禅期啊，我们都会好像一开始学佛法喜充满的时候就会想要好 make 一个 commitment 说我要怎样，可是通常持续多久持续不了多久，然后呢一下子境界来了一下子就去 vacation 嘛，这样那个妙高山蛮不错的先去玩两个月再回来然后我再回来精进，这就是非常的脆弱的一种精进力。那这边地藏王菩萨的精进力是如金刚宝，在怎么样艰难的状况之下它不会间断。
Moving on to the third practice in the sixth paramita, which is the practice of being diligent and vigor. And over here, it's described as it's so strong and so solid as the Vajra diamond, the hardest diamond in the world, which is unbreakable. Comparing that with us, usually our resolves and our so-called diligence is very fragile and very breakable. So oftentimes, people will make promises or try to make commitments or New Year's resolve, resolution of, say, I will recite the sutra every day, or I'll prostrate 100 times every day, or attend retreats twice a year, etc., etc. And oftentimes that happens when people start to study the Buddha Dharma, where in the beginning you are suddenly filled with the joy of Dharma. But this kind of diligence is actually quite fragile, and sometimes you encounter some sort of obstacles and then quickly turn around and say, let me go take a vacation. Maybe I'll go to the mountain in Japan. And then you go away for 2 months before you return to continue your practice. And that's a very fragile kind of diligence.
那安忍哈，忍辱怎么修行呢？哈，这边他是地藏王菩萨是安忍不动，犹如大地。哈，什么是不动？为什么用大地来形容他的不动？哈，用大地来形容不动也不是代表说他非常的，其实我们的大地是活的。哈，它有时候山啊、山川、大海、哈、河流，它其实是会变的。好，它会因应顺势而变，它也会火山爆发，对吧？但是安忍是什么意思？它能够安住，然后承载。忍就是 tolerate， 承载万物，然后它不会一下子哇，好重的东西，责任来了，就把你肩膀压歪一边，它还是很安很平。好，很安住在那边哦，不就东西太重啊？哎呀，不然就是这边偏一边哈，然后地就歪一边。不会，他是什么样的人来，什么样的情况发生，他都是平等的接受他。好，然后呢，什么还可以长养他们？就是平等的接受一切世界。好，你就不会产生什么最后一根稻草。好，把你压垮的这种忍辱，它是安忍不动，犹如大地。
The fourth parameter is forbearance. And over here, the kind of forbearance that's practiced by Chittigarbha Bodhisattva is calmly and unmoving, like the great earth. And again, the phrase great earth is evoked to describe his virtue. What is great earth? Again, it's firm, but it's not rigid. It still changes from time to time, like according to different conditions, the slope of the mountain changes, the new rivers coming, but it's always very firm. It's able to tolerate all sentient beings, able to uphold all sentient beings. So it's not like us carrying something on our shoulder. When something becomes heavy, then the shoulder becomes uneven. It's not like that. The kind of forbearance that's practiced by Chittigarbha Bodhisattva is that it's even and balanced at all times, where all sentient beings and any kind of conditions and tasks are being treated with equanimity, accepted with equanimity. So in this kind of situations, you are not going to have the so-called last straw on the camel's back, where it suddenly breaks you. You're always upholding everything like the great earth.
那他的禅定是怎样呢？静虑哈，就是禅定呢，生密犹如密藏。他用密藏来形容地藏王菩萨的禅定功夫，又深又密，就好像那个秘密的宝藏哈，通常是怎样，藏在非常没有人迹的地方，对吧？然后在大海里面的宝藏都是在非常深的地方。来形容他的禅定功非常的深，而且这个深的同时不是什么都没有，而是在越深他的宝藏越丰富。禅定这里讲的不是只有止，不是只有讲定，而是 越深的定他的慧越丰富，这样的一个禅修功夫。
The fifth parameter is contemplation, or meditative power. And over here, it's described as deep and profound, as if holding a secret treasure. So as you know, the treasures are not everywhere to be found. It's embedded deeply and it's hidden. And the deeper it is, the richer it is. And the kind of, this kind of strength that Chittigarbha Bodhisattva has, it's not only, this kind of meditative power doesn't only apply to stopping, to samatha, to stealing. It actually can generate the power of wisdom.
那智慧深广呢，就像大海一样。那大海它是什么？容纳百川，对吧？所以这个整个大地的河川通通要进海里的。所以你看它的深度就像海最深，可是广度呢，它就好像那个枝叶那个 branch 哈，就是散布在整个所有的大地上。那也就是说，它的智慧呢可以深广，而且可以到每一个地方，它的智慧。
And as for the sixth parameter, wisdom. It's described as it's like the ocean. And when we think about the ocean, all the rivers and streams and whatnot, they all merge into the river. So it's not only into the ocean. They all merge into the ocean. And so it's really deep and broad. And not only so, just like the branches on the leaf, on the tree, that the benefit it's able to generate can actually permeate and go through all different places.
所以地藏王菩萨的六度波罗蜜是这样修的，所以我们呢就是见贤思齐，虽然到不了，但是我们的心就向往，至少有一个目标可以学习。
So this is the way that Chittagarbha Bodhisattva practiced the six paramitas to this level of substantialness. So for us, even though we cannot get there right away, but this can serve as a really good goal or a yardstick for us to approximate his practice and as a direction in which we can exert our effort.
好，那赞叹完了之后呢，那当然就有地上王就菩萨呢，等一下，这个微妙功德里面还有两句，好，我把它抽出来，因为跟止观定慧有关的。那地藏王菩萨怎么修止观？这两句他说，摄事细心如观妙色，安忍坚住如妙高山，刚刚已经讲过了，就是妙高山，就是在我们在修观的时候呢，它是只要遇到世间一切的现象，它是马上怎么样？细心是回到观自己的心，不是去观察说，哇，他喜欢他，然后呢，他讨厌他，这种在事项上的观察不是，他一看到任何世间一切现象，他马上是什么？唯心所造。好，色是细心，然后呢，如观妙色，妙色是什么色？它不是一般的色，就是指物质界。那什么是妙色呢？妙色就是知道呢，一切都是虚幻无常、变化多端的，然后一切都是唯心造的那种色。才观妙色，那这个在我们修止观或修任何的禅修方法的时候非常的重要，一切都要怎么样回归自心，一切都要回归自心，这样的一个观。那止呢，安忍坚住，就是修心修止的时候，不是死哎什么，就是没了，就是心止，然后一切念头都没有了。这个止是你安忍坚住在你的方法上的时候，但是它是活活泼泼很有生命力的止，是所以止观，是这样的止观地藏王菩萨修的。
And over here before we move on, there's also one more concept that I want to highlight. In this sutra, the Buddha praises Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's subtle and wondrous merit and virtue.And so what is this subtle and wondrous merit and virtue? This, I pulled it out, I'm highlighting this because it's closely related to our practice of samatha and vipassana, stilling and contemplation. And how does he practice it? Observing phenomena while reflecting within, contemplate the wondrous phenomena manifesting from the mind. So this is basically saying that whatever phenomenon that we observe in the world, ultimately we have to reflect back and understand that all phenomena is really coming from, generated from the mind. So when you're looking at things and people around you, you don't just look at the surface phenomenon saying, oh, she doesn't like him, he likes her, etc., etc. It's not like that. All of those phenomena is actually a manifestation of your own mind. So you have to look within and observe that and contemplate that instead of looking at the surface, objective, materialistic phenomenon. And over here, contemplating the wondrous phenomena. Phenomena is usually referring to the materialistic world, but the wondrous phenomenon is related to the mind. Again, everything is created by the mind, and this is a concept that is critical for us when we're practicing stilling and contemplation. Stilling is referring to being connected and honing into, be really stable with the method that you're using. So that's where you still your mind. And then contemplation, it doesn't mean that once your mind is still, it doesn't have any more function. Instead, the way that you're able to contemplate and observe things around you becomes even more vital and even more alert.
那这个直观的部分就等一下哈，马上就要用楞严经跟圆觉经跟大家分享直观的法门到底是怎么一回事哈。那这边讲它的定跟慧呢，是到什么程度呢？总持，我们讲总持不动尊，对吧？任何一个法门就要修到它是我们的总持，是不容易的。就是总持，就是它就是那个方法，是你的根本方法。什么境界来，什么问题来，这个总持会带你怎么样破除虚幻的一个知见，然后进入什么跟真如相应的一个法门。那这种定力就是比如说，哦，你起烦恼了，一句话头，什么是无，你就不烦恼了。比如说你说，哦，你念佛的，就阿弥陀佛阿弥陀佛，就算你今天财产全部被人家骗光了，阿弥陀佛一句话，总持不动，犹如大海，就是什么都来嘛，没关系。你如果我们的心如果像大海这样子不动，所有的一切都是属于我们的一部分，你还会觉得有得失吗？对，一切现象的就等于是不动的，因为你的心包含了一切的一切，一切都是你的心，还会有得失，还会有偏颇吗？那你心还要动吗？不需要动了耶。总持。
The second part is a description of the level of attainment of Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's ability to his samadhi and his wisdom. And over here, it's, we're talking about this concept of Dharani. It's this method that upholds and subsumes all methods. And the Dharani is broad and profound like the vast ocean. And its essence is all-encompassing and without obstruction like the empty space. So this Dharani, or this method of all method, is something for us to rely on regardless the kind of obstacles or challenges that we are confronted with. It helps us to break away all the illusions and to correspond with true suchness, regardless whether whatever hits you and comes in your life's way. And so what is this Dharani? It depends on your methods. So for some people, it's the use of hua tou. What is wu? So regardless of what you encounter, you can just use this hua tou and will break away all your attachments and illusions, delusions. Or for other people who use the method of reciting the Buddha's name, Amitabha Buddha's name, again, you use this as the key method and helps you deal with all sorts of, it brings your mind back to the practice and breaks away all the delusions. So ultimately, By having this dharani, your mind will become like the great ocean. And once the mind is like great ocean without discrimination, then what's the sense of talking about any gains or loss? When your mind is everything, when it includes everything, then what is loss and what is gains, there's no point of talking about them because everything essentially is the mind.
那智慧呢，是神足无碍，譬若虚空。好，我们刚刚讲的那些哈，我们多少人可以做得到？做不到呢，只是人家骂我们两句，其实我们就起心动念了，就定早就没有了哈，已经定起心动念，不知道已经是振幅多几度了哈。那我们也不要勉强自己说，我不能动，我不能心动，然后你就变成死人一个哈，就不是这个意思，就是这个的能力定的功夫，其实也建筑在我们对于空慧、空性的智慧体证的程度。好，空性的智慧体证的越深，我们的定力就一定相对越深。那定力深，对空性的了解一定会越深。好，那他在这边讲哈，地藏王菩萨的智慧是犹如虚空，意思是说他对空性的了解，还有对什么没有阻碍，解脱自由。所以他神足无碍，神足无碍就是说他要去哪里就去哪里。那我们能吗？我们要去隔壁还得走门，光一道墙就把我们挡住了。他神足，那就不要讲说我们要上天去天界去不了，去地狱救众生我们也就去不去，去得了啦，但是出不来。就说他既然发愿要救度一切众生，他一定要去哪，哪里有众生需要帮助他就要去哪。所以他已经破除了什么色界的障碍，色哈，墙壁是色嘛哈，任何一个物质界就是地水火风不会对他有造成障碍，所以他想去哪里救度众生，哪里需要他就可以去，他有这样的一个智慧的能力，神足无碍，犹如虚空。
SoThe essence is all-encompassing without obstruction, like the empty space. This last bullet point. How many of us can really achieve that? I don't think any of us really can. Even just if people, you know, yell at you, say a few things about you behind your back, or say a few negative things about you, you already lose this ability to stay calm like the great earth. The mind is already going through upheavals. And so we're not able to really stay calm and stay stable. On the other hand, becoming calm and stable, stilling, doesn't mean it's rigid or you have to, you know, exert your efforts, say, I have to stay calm. It's not like that. It's closely related to your understanding of emptiness, this wisdom of emptiness. The deeper your understanding is of this empty nature of all phenomena, actually will lead to a better ability to be still. Vice versa, the deeper your meditative or stilling ability is, it will also lead you to a deeper understanding of the emptiness nature. So, for Chittagabha Bodhisattva, his understanding of emptiness is so profound that he's able to transcend all phenomena and he has no obstructions. He can go wherever he wants in order to help sentient beings. For us, it's not that way. We cannot, because we are bound by our concepts and the lack of understanding of empty nature. So just even going next door, yeah, you can go next door, but you have to go through doors. You can't just go through wall. Wall is a form of obstruction. But that's not the case with Chittagabha Bodhisattva. He has already broken the boundaries of all the realms of forms, all phenomena. And he can go whatever he wants. And for us, he can go to the hell to alleviate sentient beings and go to the heavenly realms, again, to expound his teachings. For us, would that be easy to go to heaven? No, not so easy. And can we go to hell? Sure, you can go to hell, but it will be very difficult for us to get out. but he has the ability to go wherever he wants because of his deep understanding of emptiness.
那在一个菩萨道的修行里面，好，我们的修持一定是什么？定慧等持，止观等持的哈，这是要先提出来的。
So, but here a very important concept in our practice of the Bodhisattva path is there's always a dual emphasis of both stilling and wisdom, samadhi and wisdom.
好，那佛赞叹完地藏王菩萨，他就出现了嘛，哈。那一出现之后呢，地藏王菩萨开始赞叹世尊，好，这个我们之前也提过了。我们都不知道怎么赞叹地藏王菩萨，一讲就一串。那我后来去分析一下里面讲的东西，因为地藏王菩萨已经可以跟佛呢是入如来智，如来的智慧他是已经可以入了，但是他缺乏什么救度一切众生的能力，是他发愿但是他要学，那也是当然他已经淫会了啦，只是他跟世尊两个一搭一唱，就是要教所有在座的菩萨们怎么救度一切众生。那在这个殊胜的功德里面，我发现大部分是在讲世尊怎么可以为众生离苦得乐的能力写在那里面，那是我们一般人讲不出来的，全部写在这边，你们有时间可以自己去看。比如说安忍如大帝，安忍如大帝还可以骗除嗔愤心，他可以他的定力可以骗除我们的嗔恨心。好，那我们呢不要去 enhance 别人的嗔恨心就很了不起了，别人生气你跟着生气嘛，就 enhance 加强他的嗔恨心，帮他打抱不平嘛。但是地上世尊是什么？他一出现他不要讲话，你的嗔恨心就不见了。哇，这是什么能力啊？
So then after the Buddha described all these virtues and merit of Chittagaba Bodhisattva, then Chittagaba Bodhisattva arrived at the scene. And then Chittagaba Bodhisattva in turn stopped praising the Buddha of all his wondrous merit and virtue. And we went over this already last time, but I'll refresh your memory really quickly, where Chittagaba Bodhisattva very easily start praising the Buddha's virtue and merit in great length. And so the text is very long, and so I tried to analyze it a little bit more. And what I realized that all these phrases actually center around the concept of how the Buddha is able to reach out and alleviate the sufferings of sentient beings, so his actions, the ability to do so. Looking at Chittagaba Bodhisattva, he has already attained the kind of wisdom that is comparable to the Buddha. But in this sutra, what appears that he still lacks the ability to full ability to reach out to sentient beings to help them to the in the extent that is possible that Buddha can do. In truth, he probably can do a lot of that already, but over here, because in the sutra, they're trying to help us understand. So Buddha and Chittagaba Bodhisattva go back and forth with these praises and descriptions. So all these praises of Buddha from Chittagaba Bodhisattva about the Buddha is talking about the ability to help and different ways of helping sentient beings. So let's take this this phrase as an example where the forbearance is stable like earth, and not only so, it's able to cleanse away all the anger and hatred. And this is already amazing to me when I read it, because not only is Buddha able to stay stable like the great earth, at the same time is able to cleanse away all the hatred and anger. Whereas again, if we look at ourselves, Oftentimes, what we actually do is we enhance other people's anger by chiming in or whatnot, instead of helping to ease away and cleanse away the anger.
So Buddha doesn't need to say anything. Just show the samadhi power that our hatreds go away. Okay. All right. 然后呢，这个呢，就是大家有时间自己去细看哈，每一个。那我最近前几天嘛，哈，我们有一个伟大的科学家 Stephen Hawking 往生了，对不对？那我以前读书的时候就知道他是一个伟大的物理学家，那他研究黑洞，这就只是我了解的。他很伟大，他研究黑洞，但是呢，我要怎么赞美他呢？讲不出来。然后我就赶快去看新闻报道，哇，好几个伟大当代还活着的伟大科学家怎么赞美他？哇，就讲得非常 detail， 说他怎么突破啊，对于时间跟空间的解释。这个我也会讲，但是怎么突破呢？搞不清楚 ，equation 也看不懂。我没有办法赞美 Stephen Hawking 的哈，那只有跟他能力等级的人知道他的伟大贡献在哪里。那我们一般哈泛泛的人，大家就说啊，他很伟大，他研究黑洞，就这样而已哈，就这样而已。
So the text is here available, and I encourage you to when you have time to look at it more in depth. And this sort of relate back this couple of days ago, as many of you already know, a great physicist, Stephen Hawking, passed away. And I've known about Stephen Hawking for a long time, even since I was still in school, and I knew he's a great scientist, and he studied, makes great breakthroughs of black holes. But if you really want me to praise him, I'm actually at loss. I don't know exactly how to praise him. And so I went online and looked up information about him, and I saw that a lot of his contemporary who are still alive right now, they actually wrote articles praising his accomplishments, explaining the kind of breakthroughs he was able to make. And as I was reading it, I read it and I sort of understood, okay, so his accomplishment was in finding out more information about black holes, has a different way of looking at it. But beyond that, when you go even deeper, exactly how he pushed the theory forward, or what, when I was looking at the equation, I couldn't even comprehend those equations. So, it shows it's similar to what's happening in the sutra. It's only people that's at the same level as the object of praise is able to fully understand that person's virtues and accomplishments. And so similarly here, Chittagabra Bodhisattva is at that level, he's able to understand the Buddha's virtues.
那对于我们来讲呢，诸佛菩萨的圣妙功德，其实我们也只能随喜赞叹，随我们的程度随喜赞叹，我们没有办法真正的去体会，唯有我们的修正程度逐渐的加深，逐渐的提高之后，我们会慢慢的了解诸佛菩萨的圣妙功德。
So for us, whenever we read about Buddha's and Bodhisattva's virtues and meritsAt this current level, the most we can do is to praise and also rejoice in their merit and virtue. But do we really understand it? Perhaps not quite. It's only until your own level, your own practice and understanding has reached a deeper and deeper level, then you will be able to understand the details, the specifics of their merit and virtues.
所以哈，普贤十愿普贤是什么行愿，它是大行修行，第一礼敬诸佛，第二什么称赞如来，想要称赞如来你我们得好好的修行，不然也称赞不出来。
So the 10 great vows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva, the first one is to respect all Buddhas.And the second one is to give praises to all Buddhas. And, you know, truth be told, it's only when your understanding has reached a substantial level that you gain the ability to really give adequate praises to these Buddhas.
好，那我们刚刚哈，然后赞美完了之后呢，地藏王菩萨赞佛赞美完之后，好疑问菩萨就出现说，好疑问菩萨就来问了。问的问题就跟上次讲，他说这个地藏王菩萨从哪里来的，他为什么可以是有什么善根，他为什么可以称赞如来称赞佛赞成这个样子，从来没有听过，请佛讲。他请了佛第一次问不说，他问佛第一次他不说，第二次又在请问的时候他说好吧，我少分说，我说一点点，因为他说如果我真正把地藏王菩萨的功德讲出来你们会不信。好，所以第一次他 refuse 是说我不讲，因为你们不相信。第二次他一问就我要听，他说好吧，那我少分说了，所以 那到我这边又更少分了，少分说这样子。
So after these two rounds of praises, then the Bodhisattva of keen non-questioning came forth and posed these questions, which again we talked about last time.The questions are, where does this Chittagarbha Bodhisattva came from? And what kind of merit and virtues he has, capacity does he have, that will warrant such kind of praises coming from you, the Buddha? And the third question is, why is he able to praise you, the Buddha, praise all your inconceivable merit to such an extent that we are not able to do? And so...the Bodhisattva of keen on questioning asked these questions, and the Buddha, first time, refused to answer the questions, and saying that Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's merit and virtue are so great and so wondrous that even if I try to explain it, you wouldn't understand and you're going to have doubts about it. But then...Bodhisattva of keen on questioning was very persistent and asked again, saying, I want to know, so tell me. And so the Buddha said, okay, fine, I'll tell you a little bit, just a little bit about Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's merit and virtue. And so the Buddha told the assembly a little bit, and now trickling down from me telling you, it's probably going to be even less, just a tiny, tiny fraction of his true merit and virtue, but I'm sharing those with you.
那我这次就是比较专注在的就是地藏王菩萨的妙定神通力。好，妙定神通力就是他的定慧的能力。好，那经文讲，世尊讲，地藏王菩萨的妙定神通力是他已能安住首楞伽摩胜三摩地，就是首楞严三昧。好，那已能安住狮子奋训床三摩地，就是狮子奋训三昧，他因为能够安住这两个三昧，所以他可以做接下来经文讲的一大串他能够救度众生的能力。
And so this time for this today's talk I'm going to focus on Chittagarbha Bodhisattva's wondrous samadhi and superpowersAnd so the Buddha explained in the sutra that the ability, Chittagarbha Bodhisattva, he is able to abide in this supreme Surgama Samadhi. Also, he has the ability to abide in the lion-like vigorous Samadhi. And because his ability to stay within these two Samadhis, then he's able to later on manifest all these great powers in order to alleviate the sufferings of sentient beings.
那我们先来讲首楞严三昧，一讲到一看到这几个字它就代表什么，它就代表一部楞严经。好，那请大家六月来听国行法师讲楞严经，因为楞严经我只是少分了解，我不是非常精通，所以呢但是我把其中的一些这个重点讲一下，这首楞严三昧如果大家还记得的话，就是阿难嘛遇到摩登伽女的因缘，那 他问就开始问佛，然后整个楞严经展开就是佛在为阿难讲首楞严三昧。那这部这个首楞严三昧呢，它能够 它是可以兼顾哦，又讲兼顾了，它就可以摄持诸所有一切的法的三昧。那同时这个三昧据首楞严三昧经记载，它是只有十地菩萨以上才可以达到的这个三昧，而且呢它是总摄一切三昧，然后可以如神通如意无碍。这是首楞严三昧的一个状况。
So when you see the words Suragama Samadhi, immediately come to your mind is the Suragama Sutra. And the Suragama Sutra, I don't know it that well, so I'll only be able to share a little bit with you. And if you are interested to hear more about it, please come back in June. Master Guo Xing will be here giving a retreat talking about the Suragama Sutra. But I'll share what I know with you. So again,The Suragama Sutra, the origin of it is Buddha's attendant Ananda. Ananda went to beg alm in the city and encountered a courtesan, Madame Matangi, and trying to seduce him.And lure him in, and breaking away from her power, Ananda came to the Buddha and asked for teaching in order to practice in a way that's more stable and indestructible. So the Suragama Sutra and the Samadhi is in essence indestructible, and it has the ability to subsume all dharmas.And Suragama Sutra, over here, it also explains that only the bodhisattvas who are in the 10th ground is able to enter this Suragama Samadhi. And this Samadhi subsume all dhyana concentrations, and the wisdom one's able to obtain from entering the Samadhi is that it's wondrous and without any kind of obstructions.
好，那首楞严三昧它会有不同的名相出现，一般比较常见到的是这五个，首楞严三昧，般若波罗蜜听过吗？观自在菩萨行深般若波罗蜜多时，在讲首楞严三昧。金刚三昧是在那个楞严经讲耳根圆通藏的时候会讲到金刚三昧，然后狮子吼三昧或是佛性，那一般你们会看到的，我们会在经典上看到的，都是在讲首楞严三昧。
And so Suragama Samadhi also has a few synonymous terms that shows up in different sutras. The first one is Suragama Samadhi. The second one is Prajnaparamita. Have you ever heard of this term before, Prajnaparamita? It's one of the first phrases that come up in the Heart Sutra. And the third one is the Vajra Samadhi, and it comes up in the Suragama Sutra in the chapter that talks about the perfect practice of using the ear faculty. The fourth term that is equivalent to Suragama Samadhi is Samadhi of Lion's Roar. And the fifth one is actually Buddha nature.
Okay. 这是出现什么？这个 sorry 没有把它quickly. 那首楞严它的定义就是就近坚固，就是不动。那最主要它的特征是佛性非因缘生，它无生无灭，所以它就近坚固。任何世界一切的现象，如果是因缘所生法，它每一个刹那都在改变，所以它是不坚固的，它不能维持，每一个刹那都在改变。所以这边讲的坚固是什么？不变的那个佛性。所以它不变，所以它才坚固，可是所有一切因缘所生法，它都是刹那变化。
So the Suragama Samadhi, the definition of it is that it's absolutely indestructible. And what is absolutely indestructible? Nothing in the world is absolutely indestructible because everything arises from cause and conditions. whatever arises from cause and condition it's changing instantaneously and it's not indestructible. But the unchanging phenomenon amidst of all this phenomenon is this Surgama Samadhi, that it is indestructible.
那守楞严定又叫做自性定，它的特征是它没有出入定。我们任何一个世间的定，包括出世间的定，它都会有出入定的一个过程。可是守楞严定最高的这个三昧呢，它没有出入定，也就是佛呢，它无时无刻，做任何事情，在任何地方、任何时间，它都是在守楞严定当中。它有救度一切众生的功能，可是它是在定当中，它不用像这里这篇地藏王菩萨哈，他要救度众生的时候，他每天早上起来要入定，入什么定，然后救哪一种众生啊？佛不用入，对，没有出入定的过程。
Another characteristic of Surgama Samadhi is that it's a samadhi of the original nature, which means that when you are in Surgama Samadhi, there's no entering or exiting from this samadhi. So when Buddha, he's constantly in the Surgama Samadhi, and in the samadhi, he's able to reach out to sentient beings and help according to conditions. In comparison, the kind of samadhi Chittagata Bodhisattva is in, he actually has to enter or exit samadhi. So later on in the sutra, we're going to talk about how every morning, in order to help sentient beings, he enters 23 different kinds of samadhis. But Surgama Samadhi, there's no entering or exiting. You're always in it.
那实地菩萨呢，他是可以安住在这个守楞严三昧，就他可以到达这个三昧，但他还没有说是无时无刻不在，他就是可以安住在这个定中，守楞严定中。
And bodhisattvas that are in the 10th round, they're able to enter this Surgama Samadhi, but they are not able to abide in the Samadhi at all times like the Buddha.
那楞严经里面讲的守楞严定又是怎么一回事呢？他的修持是这样，他因为阿难遇到摩登伽女的一个因缘，所以阿难就问佛说，阿难也是一个伟大的修行者，他说哇，我也是修世界，这个定也是修得蛮深的，那请问有没有一种定，它是圆含妙色摩他、妙三摩跟妙禅那，就这种东西让我可以克服这种，你知道业障一现前，什么定都没有了，定功都没有了嘛，那还有没有比更高深的定？他又不懂问，他就问说有没有妙色摩他、妙三摩、妙禅那，是一切那个重大境界来，他还可以把它不为所动的这种定力。那佛就为阿难说什么守楞严定，展开了整部的楞严经。
So,The discussion of Surgama Samadhi, as we said earlier, originally from this encounter Ananda had with the courtesan Mantagi. And after this encounter, and being tested, and Ananda, who is actually a great practitioner, he has already obtained a deep level of concentration, meditative power, but he was still not able to uphold himself. He was still influenced by the encounter. So he went to the Buddha and asked, is there some sort of method that you can teach me, this original expedience? Is there anything that you can teach me that will subsume these different methods of samatha, samapatti, and dhyana, that it will able to withstand the test of the karmic obstructions from past consequences, whatnot, can withstand all that and able to be firm and indestructible. And because of Ananda's question, then the Buddha went into great length and taught the Surgama Sutra.
那最主要的是用这三个圆含 妙色摩他、妙三摩跟妙禅那如何来破除什么妄尘、妄根跟妄识，这是什么呢？佛陀说，阿难，你见到佛的相好庄严 是妄尘，能见之见是妄根，好，那你喜欢是妄识，好，所以根尘识都是虚妄的，用这个首楞严定要彻底破除根尘识的虚妄之见之后，我们才可以见到清净的实相。
So the Suragama Sutra Samadhi contains the wondrous practice of stilling the mind Samatha, contemplative insight Samapatti, and meditation on true suchness Dhyana. And the purpose of these three practices is to uproot and disperse the delusionary sensory faculties, the delusionary sensory objects, and delusions arise from consciousness. And so the Buddha said to Ananda, Ananda, you see me and you see my perfect forms. The forms that you are seeing is actually a delusion. It's a delusion of a sensory form. Your ability to see these forms, that's also delusionary, that's related to the sensory faculty. And by seeing these perfect forms, you like it, you favor it, and your reaction to it is also delusionary. And so it's very important for us to disperse and break away from all of that, in order to enter the kind of concentration samadhi power that you are seeking.
好，那总说一句呢，他的方法是这样，在楞严经讲的色摩他，他是介绍空观，好，也就是说色即是空，色不异空，所有一切色的现象都是空的，那我们认为它是真实的，好，这个要破除用色摩他。
So this is the way the method goes. In the Suragama Sutra, Samatha is referring to the contemplation of emptiness. So to understand that form is empty, and also form does not differ from emptiness. So whatever we see, this microphone or whatnot that we see, we think it's real, but in essence it's empty.
那三摩波底呢，就是不空观，即就是心经讲的空即是色，空不异色，就讲不空观。因为三摩波底呢，它是修如幻，你要变化多端，你不可以空，所以它介绍的是不空观。
The second part is Samapatti, and it's the contemplation of non-emptiness. And in essence, its emptiness is form, and emptiness does not differ from the form. It's no different from the form. This is also coming from the Heart Sutra. Because of the practice, Samapatti is in the ability through emptiness manifest all various sorts of forms. So you need to at the same time not only see the emptiness, but seeing that emptiness is also a form.
那禅那呢，是中道观，它就是离即离非，是即是非，总说一句就是破除有跟无的之见，所以它也是就你不可以执着它是，也不可以执着它不是，那它也是不是的那个东西，那总而言之就是千万不可以用我们一般虚妄的根尘识，只要用虚妄的根尘识去 operate 的话呢，它就不是真的。可是所有的一切现象又是我们真心所变，所以楞严经有一句很对，马上国行法师周日要讲经要来讲，全妄即真，全真即妄，很难真正的体会。
The third part is dhyana. It's the contemplation of the middle way. Basically, it's a departure from the two extremes of affirmation that it is and negation that it is not. Yet, simultaneously, it's both is and not. What it's saying is that we need to break away from the views of something is or it's not, it's the two extremes, and not be attached to the either end. While understanding that whatever delusions that we have that arises from our sensory organ, sensory object, and consciousness, those are all mere delusions.
The operation of these three.
Operating based on this kind of mode, using the sensory organ, object, and consciousness, these are all delusionary.
And at the same time, all the phenomena are manifest by our true nature. Okay. So, overall, there is a saying in the Sarangama Sutra, say, if you can see that all is illusory, then you see the truth. And when you see everything is true, then it's all illusory. But this is a very deep, understanding of the Dharma, but, you know, very hard to have the direct experience about this saying. So I would encourage you to, you know, for Chinese speaking people, come in June and listen to Guo Xingfa's Dharma talk again. The mother is in your mind is not your mother, something like that. Okay, let's hurry up. This is what I 这个是我比较熟悉的是圆觉经哈，赶快讲两句要结束了哈。那的圆觉经里面呢，它的修行法门里面呢，哈，也是在讲这三个法门哈，因为要见圆觉哈也不容易哈，问题就是要见圆觉，就是见我们的佛性。那圆觉经里面介绍说，佛陀说哈，所谓的法门有很多很多种，但是不出三类，就是色摩他跟三摩波提跟禅那。那在这边呢，他就比较有具体的一个比喻哈，他说色摩他就是修极境，那他就是好像是镜子哈，照诸相。那三摩波提呢是修如幻，一切都是幻化的，那就好像看着就是如苗见增长，大家知道那个苗啊，苗长得很快对吧，一发芽然后就哦，可能下午早上看下午就变了，但是比这比喻啦，就是说那个苗随时随地都在变的，幻化的变化，那你没有办法抓到说哪一个样子是它，因为它下一刻就变了，就像我们去看我们小时候的照片，你会说这是我小时候，可是他是你吗？请来听国行法师讲哈。那禅那为极灭，极灭是什么呢？是气中黄，气它比喻成是我们的身心，是一个乐器。那当他要救度众生的时候，你就弹他一下，不是有声音出来吗？叮，对不对？但是这个叮呢，不会绑在这个乐器上面嘛，它会传出去对不对，然后声音传完了之后它就什么不见了，所以它不会有任何的执着，但是它有救度众生的功能，就用气中黄来比喻禅那的极灭。
The Sutra of Perfect Enlightenment also talks about these three methods, and this is a sutra I'm more familiar with, and so it also talks about the practice of Samatha, Samapatti, and Dhyana. And I find these descriptions to be a bit more concrete. Where Samatha is a practice, quiescence and tranquility, it's like the mirror reflecting mirage images. So it has the ability to reflect all phenomena. And the second one is Samapatti practice. It's a contemplation of transient manifestations. So it's as if you're watching a sprout, little sprout grow. It's changing instantaneously, and so that kind of observation. Sometimes when we look at pictures from our childhood, we'll point at the person in the photo and say, hey, that's me when I was a kid. Is that really you? Okay, that's a question for you to think about. And if you're interested, come to the talk by Master Guo Xing later in June. And the third practice is the dhyana practice of quiescence extinction. And it's the analogy that's used is it's like the sound made by instruments. So whenever the conditions arises where you need to help sentient beings, it's like striking a sound in the bell. That's the sound. The sound itself is not attached to that instrument per se, and the sound actually goes out and vibrates outward. But when the conditions of the need to help sentient being falls away, then the sound also disappears. So that's an analogy that's used for the practice of dhyana.
所以呢, 师父的解释, 在《圆觉经》那本书里面, 完全证悟里面解释这三个方法。 师父说, 色摩他的修持, 如果我们真的是像心这样一片很平的镜子里面去觉照世间的一切的时候呢, 它会有三个层次, 第一个, 你修到后来, 你很清楚知道自己的心念起灭, 再深入一点, 你知道这个世界每一个众生的心念的起灭，好，就是你任何一个心念他都知道。第三个层次是知道一切世界哦，不是只有这个世界，一切世界的一切众生的心念，什么它，哇，这个是方便哦，它还不是妙哦，看有多难。
So in Shifu's commentary of the Sutra of Imperfect Enlightenment, he went into further details and said, for the practice of Samatha, Samatha practice, there are actually three different levels. When the first level is that when your practice is deep and substantial, you will become very clear and lucid of all the risings and perishing of every single thought in your own mind. The second level is that you become very clear and lucid of the rising and falling of every thought in every sentient being in this world. That's level two. And the third level is that you become clearly aware of the rising and fallings of every single thought of all sentient beings in all world. And this is still not wondrous samadhi yet. This is only expedient samatha.
那如幻三摩提呢? 它是指观等词, 好, 前面那个Samatha是指, 那这到三摩波提的时候呢, 是指观, 就是Vipassana, 好, 就是指观等词, 在这个指观等词, 它前面是觉照, 这第二个三摩波提是观照, 观照跟觉照有什么不一样? 我知道你动念, 但是, 要能够关照你为什么起这个念，前提你一定要发大悲心才可以修这个方法。常常我们哦修禅修，有的人就是心比较静的时候，就可以知道说你这个人是不是在啊、哦、想骗我啊、哦，你这个人动歪念哈、哦、什么，你比较警觉到了，你会不会起烦恼？你们想不想要有他心通？ 你们有他心通哦，我告诉你，我要有他心通，我可能也会疯掉哦。这世界上每个人都不知道他在干嘛，每个人的起心动念都这样子。你如果没有大悲心，你真的会，你的定功没有了，你的旁边有一个人马上要起恨你的心，你马上就起心动念，你的指到哪里去了？没办法。如果要修止观同时，要修三摩波提，如苗见增长。 除了是说用苗来看它每天变化，是说你当你观照它无常变化的同时，你还可以长养什么？我们的大悲心，众生的大悲心。三摩波提一定要起大悲心才可以修止观，不然哈、哦，你的观照力越敏锐的时候，你会很惨。
The second one, Samapatti practice, is the practice of Vipassana. And it's the first one, Samatha, the practice of Samatha, is you have the ability to see, to observe the minds rising and falling of all sentient beings. But the second, Samapatti, is that to, not only you have the ability to see it, but also to understand the reasoning behind it. And in order to have this kind of practice, you actually have to give rise to great compassion in mind in order to continue with this kind of practice. Because once you have the ability to see other people's thoughts, what if you see something negative? You see someone who's trying to con you or try to cheat you. Then what's going to happen to your own thoughts? And that there will be no more samatha left, that you yourself will be affected by their thoughts. So Fasha was asking earlier whether you want to have the ability to know other people, what other people are thinking. And without giving rise to great compassion, knowing what other people are thinking is actually very dangerous, that you're going to lose your own stillness and stability. So it's crucial, very, very critical, in order to practice samapatti effectively, that you also generate this great compassion in mind.
那禅那又是怎么一回事？禅那的修持到后来，据师父说，因为经典有讲嘛，他说任何世界的一滴雨，一滴雨水在你前面是非常清楚，也就是说禅那的修持第一个层次是你知道自己心念的生住意灭，这么 detail 的 process 你都知道。然后第二个层次是你知道这个世界的众生每一个人的心念的生住意灭，然后到一切世界的每一个众生的每一个心念的生住意灭。那这个时候呢，他已经不用说我要发大悲心要去救度一切众生，因为他救度众生是自发性的，是自然而然的，如什么水往低处流，这样子的自然。
With dhyana practice, there are also three different levels. It's like seeing a raindrop very clearly in front of your own eyes. And so in Shifu's commentary, he said the first level is that you become very clear about the rising, the being,
abiding,
the changing, and the disintegrating, perishing of every single thought in your own mind. The second level is to know the arising, abiding, changing, and perishing of every single thought of all sentient beings in this world. And the third level is that it extends beyond this world and into all the various worlds in the universe. And at this level, you will no longer need to actively try to generate this great compassionate mind. It becomes natural. It's just the way things are. This great compassionate mind just naturally generated, just like the water falling from high place to low place.
所以在这个经文里面，佛说此善男子以德维系甚深的波野波罗蜜多，就是首楞严三昧，他能够了知四大种，就是地水火风初中后相，就是生住意灭，然后他的生灭为顺，就是他的生跟灭聚跟合。在讲禅那的境界，波野波罗蜜多。
So the Buddha then comes back and talk about Chittagaba Bodhisattva, saying that this good man has already obtained the subtle and profound Prajna Paramita. He has understood the beginning, middle, and end of forms of the four great elements, as well as the rising, cessation, coming together, and the state of harmony and conflict, all the different changes as possible of all these forms.
那我可能没办法，因为还有一个四字分训三昧还没讲，留到下一次好了。但是呢，我要 conclude 一下，就是说为什么要把这个首楞严三昧的妙色摩他三摩波迪跟禅那的方法大概介绍，因为这个方法是假设我们要发愿救度一切众生，这个方法要学。我们首先救度一切众生，对于自己的知见，错误的虚妄的知见，要能够知道它是不对的，用妄尘妄根妄事去操作出来的 身心的反应，不牢靠，不是他。哦、你若相信他，你不仅救不了别人，你自己也救不了。哦、然后呢，所以就是说修地藏法门，要了解地藏王菩萨他为什么他发这个愿之后他要怎么做，这个三个止观定慧的法门需要去修学。那我们下一次再讲那个狮子奋训也很重要，三昧。
We're out of time, and there's no way I can finish what I've prepared today, because there's still the samadhi of the lion-like vigor samadhi that we need to talk about. But I need to quickly conclude today's lecture by saying that it's critical for us to cultivate the practice of samatha, samapatti, and dhyana. These methods are actually very important to us if your goal is to help all sentient beings.By learning these, it will help us break away and uproot our delusionary views, which is, these delusions is, our delusionary sensory faculty, sensory consciousness, and the sensory objects. Those, if we operate using those and, to understand, to know the world around us, it's not reliable and it's, you cannot believe in it.And if you use this way of operation, then it's not only going to misguide yourself, but it's also not going to be helpful for other people. On the other hand, it's very important then to practice samatha, samapatti, and dhyana in order to accomplish the goals of helping all sentient beings.
那这三个方法也是一切所有的方法的什么基础。
And these three methods are the very foundations of all these other methods that are available.
包括念佛法门。
And including the method of reciting the Buddha's name. Still relies on these three fundamental methods.
好，那我们这个接下去来日方长，我们再继续慢慢分享，因为十轮经也讲到念佛法门，什么法门他都讲，重要的法门这部经都会讲到。
So we still have more time and we're going to take our time talking about going through the sutra one by one. It even talks about the method of reciting the Buddha's name, which we'll then discuss later.